Will you please pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give thanks for your Spirit that dwells in our world and dwells in our lives. And we pray that through your Spirit, we will hear your word for us today. Amen.
Mark 16, 1 through 18. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go, tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They promptly reported all of the young man's instructions to those who were with Peter. Afterward, through the work of his disciples, Jesus sent out from the east to the west the sacred and undying message of eternal salvation. Amen. After Jesus rose up early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and reported to the ones who had been with him, who were mourning and weeping. But even after they heard the news, they didn't believe that Jesus was alive and that Mary had seen him. After that, he appeared in a different form to 2 of them who were walking along in the countryside. When they returned, they reported it to the others, but they didn't believe them. Finally, he appeared to the 11 while they were eating. Jesus criticized their unbelief and stubbornness because they didn't believe those who saw him after he was raised up. He said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the good news to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever doesn't believe will be condemned. These signs will be associated with those who believe. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up snakes with their hands. If they drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well." This is the word of the Lord.
That's it. Mary, and Salome find the empty tomb. They are told Jesus has been raised and they should go look for him in Galilee. But the women are terrified, so they flee and say nothing to anyone. That is the end of the story. Or at least that's the way Mark tells it, which makes us wonder if Mark simply forgot a few stories along the way. Like perhaps he forgot the story that's in the Gospel of John where Thomas puts his hands in the side of Jesus. Or maybe he forgot the story from Luke where Jesus appears to travelers on the road to Emmaus and explains the scriptures. Or perhaps he forgot the story from Matthew, where Jesus sends out the disciples to go and make disciples of the nations. He forgot it all because Mark forgot to include the risen Christ in his gospel. So, starting in the 3rd century, Christians began adding endings where Jesus is comforting and inspiring, and most importantly, endings where Jesus is there. But as much as we wonder if Mark forgot some details, this is not how Mark chose to end the story. Mark ended with confusion, fear, and silence. And why that might not be the ending we expect or the ending we want on Easter morning, I wonder if it's the ending we need. Or at least it's the ending I need, because Mark's ending feels a lot more like the life I actually live than those added endings where all questions are answered and all fears allayed. And I know some folks love the added ending because it mirrors their own story. A story where life was bleak and hard until they met Jesus, at which point everything fell into place. But that's never been my story. Jesus didn't save me from my darkest days. Jesus suffered alongside me and assured me that I wasn't alone. So an Easter story where everything was suddenly fixed, it just doesn't feel like the story that I've lived. But Mark's gospel tells an Easter story that feels like real life. I mean, it has the essentials. Jesus is risen. Death is defeated, and there's new life. But the way that the women find new life is different. Jesus doesn't come to them. Jesus is not waiting in the garden to provide them the resolution they seek. Instead, the women are told they will find Jesus in Galilee. So they go back to where they come from, back to the old stories. And yes, they are still filled with fear, but they also have faith that Jesus will be waiting for them back where the story began. The Gospel of Mark doesn't promise that everything will end happily ever after. Instead, we're invited to return to Galilee, where Mark's gospel began, back to the beginning, so we can read the story again, but with new eyes, so we can find the promise of new life amidst the confusion and pain. And just like the women, we're invited to retell the story of our lives with Easter eyes. And personally, that's a story of resurrection that speaks truth into my life. Because so many of the struggles in our lives seem to come from the same old story being told over and over again. We fall into habits and patterns that we know won't bring us life, but we can't seem to get out of that story. And each of us have different versions of the story. Some of us have stories of a life spent trying to be someone we're not. Some of us have stories of learning at a young age that our desires weren't acceptable because of our gender, race, or sexual orientation, or just because they were too big or too much. Some of us have stories of bitter regrets in relationships that have failed. Some of us have stories of being bound by fear year after year. Some of us have stories of a tired search for anything that will distract us from that pain down deep. We all have stories and scripts that seem to repeat time and again, but no matter how many times the script plays, it never brings us life. And that is what I love so much about Mark's gospel. It honors that struggle. And then it invites us to begin again with the promise that our same old tired story can actually lead to life. Rather than everything being fixed for us, we're invited to go out in the world and find Jesus. He invites us to go back to our old stories in search of new life. And yes, it's scary and hard, just like it was scary and hard for the women on Easter morning. But re-narrating our story with Easter eyes can turn death into life. I've got a friend who raised two kids with a partner she loves. The kids grew up and left the nest, and then she looked around and realized that somewhere along the line, in the midst of careers and career changes, between all the soccer games and track meets, somewhere along the line, their marriage had died. Somewhere along the line, in the midst of honoring all these other calls on their lives, this one slipped away. She and her partner were stuck in loops that didn't lead to life. Some of those were loops from childhood, and some were new ones they'd created together. Same old fights, but the wounds just kept getting deeper. And any of us who've been in a sustained relationship with another human, we know how this goes. But one day, she and her partner went for a hike. They walked and walked, and as they walked, they listened. They listened to the birds. They listened to each other. They listened for the voice of the Spirit. And when they got home, they decided to tell a different story about their marriage. And this didn't fix anything. not right away. In fact, for months, it made it harder. They went to therapy together and individually. They examined the stories they'd been living, and they dared to retell those stories with faith that new life was possible. And I would guess they didn't just re-narrate the story of their lives. I suspect they began to re-narrate the story of one another. I guess that there was a story that went something like this. OMG. He seriously left the kitchen dirty again. He hit snooze 3 times this morning. If he cared about me, he would get out of bed and not leave me all these dishes. I guess that old story got retold with a story that sounded more like, the kitchen is dirty, and I know how bad he feels when he leaves the house a mess. He must be so tired from work, those errands I asked him to run, and helping the kids with homework, that he just couldn't do it all. Our family is really asking a lot of him right now. The stories we tell. And one of those stories we tell is that the moment on the hike with the listening and that turning point saved it all. We tell the story that all we need is one of those magical moments to resolve all the problems in our lives. But the truth is that on that day, they were both overwhelmed. I think they were filled with something like fear and dread. I think they were a lot like the women at the grave who were in shock as they ran from the empty tomb. And much like those women, their story didn't instantly resolve. But much like those women, they let the resurrection take root and reshape their world. And I'll be honest, there's a part of me that would prefer that magically perfect ending where suddenly everything is fixed. But Mark's resurrection, And the kind of resurrection I see all around us is, well, it's a resurrection that happens on both sides of the grave. It's a resurrection story that gives us the promise of life everlasting, and it's a resurrection story that invites us to begin that life right now. It's a resurrection story where death, in all its forms, does not get the last word. It's a resurrection story that invites us to rewrite the narrative of our lives with the promise that where there was once death, there can be life again. For Christ has gone before us. And it might feel like Christ is missing from our story this Easter morning, but he is all around us. He is out in the world, in the hardest of places, inviting us to come and follow him. Amen.